Our first speaker is Stephanie Smith, and Stephanie has worked for the last 7 years with Riverside Community Health Foundation on youth programs. She's currently the Director of Health Education. She has 13 years of experience in working with youth and adults, and she's also right now the past board chair for Teen Now California, which is a statewide organization providing training and technical assistance to groups working with adolescents throughout the state. So Stephanie, please join us.
Thank you, Judith. Well, welcome everyone. Thank you. It's kind of different to be first up, right? And as you notice, all of us got the gray and black memo, so we're in sync today. So I'm here today to actually introduce or to discuss our program, Project Team, which is our teenage education to avoid motherhood, a sexual health prevention program in Riverside, California. I have no relationships to disclose today. And as I was introduced, I'm Stephanie Smith. I'm the Director of Health Education for Riverside Community Health Foundation. And we are actually a 501c3 nonprofit public charity in the city of Riverside. And our vision is really to improve the health of our community, and we do that through funding. We're also a granting organization, and we develop partnerships and collaborations throughout our community to sustain programs. So today, my presentation objectives are actually to discuss the structure of a successful program, which is our Project Team program. And we targeted youth from the ages of 14 to 18 years of age. And I'll talk about a little bit of the results of our participants, identify the impact of an educational curriculum to ensure continued sexual health in a school setting. And just a quick snapshot of Riverside. Riverside County actually has one of the highest teen pregnancy rates in the state, about 43.4 teen births per 1,000 youth between the ages of 15 and 19. We also, the city of Riverside is actually, 10.3 of those that became pregnant were actually the ages of between ages 15 and 19. We also have 49% of our pregnancies among our youth actually were unintended, and 31.3 pregnancies were of Hispanic Latino youth, as well as 13.3 of African American youth. And our two school districts that feed into our community, we're a very small community. I don't know how many of you have ever been in Riverside. It's actually a very small community, but we actually have three districts that actually feed into our city. And so our highest, our Riverside and our largest is Riverside and Alvord School District. And we actually have a higher dropout rate in those school districts, as well as a high incidence of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and HIV and AIDS. Just a quick snapshot of our partners in this program. We actually looked at Riverside County Office of Education, where we implemented our programs, as well as Riverside Unified School District and Alvord School Districts. And for our funding, we actually received about $210,000 a year for 5 years, with an extension of a 6 year for the Community Challenge Grant. Yay. And so it was very exciting that we were able to do that. We actually are a newly funded agency, if you know of the California PrEP, to continue our efforts. So we actually received the funding for California PrEP as well. So we're able to actually continue our programming and with a little bit more focus on HIV and AIDS. We also funded ourselves because we can do that because we are a granting organization. So we actually funded our own programs to supplement and to sustain programs in the interim of CCG and PrEP. So our mission actually for our teen health services, we actually are just addressing the teen pregnancy issues throughout in youth development in our community. And we actually had our 7 objectives for the Community Challenge Grant, which consisted of our project team, our male involvement program, our peer-to-peer parent presentations, community mobilization, and clinical services. And we did all 7 of those objectives in our school settings or involving our schools, our school districts. And so Project Team, this is just a quick overview of what our program looked like. Project Team was actually was developed in response to the need of our community. And so that's why we kind of took an unconventional way of looking at creating our curricula. We did developed our curricula in-house. So we did use a modified version of reducing the risk as well as a multiple of other curricula to kind of meet our need to address those issues specific to our program. So we took a look at how many hours. So we did 12 hours or 12 sessions in the schools, and these programs were actually integrated into the health curriculum in our schools. So in the health program in your traditional school setting. And so some of our programs that we actually, the session outline was, we discussed was peer pressure, decision making, birth control, communication, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted infections, goal setting, self-esteem, body image and nutrition, substance abuse and use, as well as relationship skills, male and female anatomy, and abstinence. So it was a very comprehensive program outline that we actually did a full 60 minutes in every school session. So what we did is we did a quantitative study. We looked at pre and post surveys or questionnaires that we conducted, and they were really designed to measure the changes of knowledge and understanding of sexual risk-taking, as well as the attitudes towards teen pregnancy and safer sex. So we had at the end, and what I'm actually reporting on is in our 2005-2006 school year. We did the same surveys every year, but we're just looking at one school year that these results were from. We did. We actually implemented the program, and our total youth that we served was about 7,200 youth throughout the school year. But we had 123 match surveys, which is not very good. and we know that, and that's because simply because of the changes or the movement of youth and program allowability into the schools in some ways. Not on our part, but just district changes. So we are a little bit of our demographics. We had 100% of our attendees were between the ages of 15 and 18. 56% were female, 44% male. Hispanic, we had about 61% of our population was Hispanic. Multiracial was 13%, 9% Caucasian, 7% African American, and then 7% other. So one of our program outcomes that we were looking at is we wanted to see at least 40% of our youth would have an increase of understanding of teen pregnancy. So these were just samples of the questions that were in the pre and post surveys. So how to use different kinds of birth control effectively was actually from pre to post, we had about a 39 or a positive 39% change of knowledge. Which method of birth control is the most effective? We had also a difference of 34% in a positive way. And then exactly how the pregnancy occurred, a positive 29%. So we see about a 20% overall increase of knowledge for this outcome. 40%, our second outcome, 40% will increase understanding of STI prevention. As well as we see from pre to post, we have a 39% increase in knowledge on the ways to reduce their chance of getting a sexually transmitted infection, 30% for STI and how it's passed from one person to the other, as well as a positive 31% change in the symptoms or the common STIs. And then the difference between viral and bacterial, there was also an increase of 28%. So on the average, we had about a 46% participant increase in knowledge, and we can see that there was actually a significant increase of knowledge for this outcome. And then the third outcome was actually 40% will increase their expectations of resist unsafe sex. As you can see, 42% actually expectation to resist unsafe sex was a result, which we did meet our outcome, but the average mean score on the scale increased only about a modest 0.91. And that really wasn't significantly different, but it was really because of when they came in, their score was already high. So they already knew enough or how to resist their unsafe practices. And then program outcome number four was 30% will intend to access family planning services. And this one, 38%, so if you add the 21 and 17%, which are the very likely or somewhat likely, indicated that they were going to seek clinical services or go to their local doctor in the next 6 months. But 52% indicated that they were not likely. And so we did do a follow-up question on this, and it was really because the students actually said that they were not planning on to have sex during the next 6 months, so therefore they chose or thought that they would not be attending any family planning services. So some of our strengths that we found during implementation of this program was actually that it was very important, and comprehensive sexual health programs should be available to all or in schools. The program fundamentals related to teen pregnancy were relevant to their personal life and their experiences, and participants expressed that having it implemented in the school setting was really beneficial for them and also gave them an opportunity to feel comfortable and felt like they could really discuss or ask any of the questions that they were able to do. Some of the weaknesses, lengths of the class, of course. It was 12 weeks being implemented in the school settings. The students' commitment was a weakness because this was a voluntary program. The school sites changes, staff in and out, and the budget cuts, so we were losing a lot of our, in the state of California, and I'm sure everybody else, was losing a lot of their teachers. So it was like starting over every single semester. Lots of programs on school sites were being implemented. The loss of our health classes were gone, and then the school board changes. So I just really quickly, I know I have about 30 seconds left because I want to be
respectful.
So MOUs, just really making sure that you clearly defined your responsibilities for both parties, I think is really important. Really getting a commitment from your partners, identifying a constant individual on a school setting to really make sure that it's continued and sustainability of programs. Disclose all of your intentions. That is one of the reasons why we are in our schools, is because we've always been honest and upfront and disclose anything and everything with them. We've developed timelines for our programs, so there's no lack of expectations. Have a sustainability plan, I think is really important. If we want our programs to be or sustain in our schools, where they can and should be, we need to have to make sure that we have funding to back that up. And using your community resources is really one of the most important areas that we could look at. And choose your partners. Choose your partners that can assist an already a captive audience. So in conclusion, as you can see, that we did have an increase of knowledge with our participants. We increased 48% of their knowledge of STI prevention, and there was also a slight increase of resisting unsafe sex. And a successful program implementation has been provided to us as well as giving back or partnering in other endeavors with our school districts. And that's it.
Thank you for
so any questions?
One question.
That was really quick, I know. They were self-reporting. You're welcome. And they were confidential. We didn't do any names on our surveys as well, so there was no numbers. There was just participants, so couldn't track back.
One more question. Yes, can you speak up? Stand up, speak up.
We have not, but that's actually something that we're doing with our new round of programming. So absolutely, that's, but we did not differentiate that. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.